सपने सलामत दोस्तों, वेलकम टू जींस टी शर्ट एंड टाई, द ओनली देसी टॉक शो ऑफ इट्स काइंड एनीवेयर इन द होल वर्ल्ड. हैव यू एवर ड्रीम्ड अबाउट स्टार्टिंग अ बिजनेस? देन दिस शो इज डेडिकेटेड टू यू एंड फॉर यू. द शो इज फॉर एंटरप्रेन्योर्स, ड्रीमर्स, इन्वेस्टर्स, टेकीज एंड नॉन टेकीज, एनीवन एंड एवरीवन दैट हैज अ ड्रीम.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopahar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon. जो भी चाहो वो मैं पाऊं जिंदगी में जीते जाऊं चांद तारे तोड़ लाऊं सारी दुनिया पर मैं छाऊं बस इतना सा ख्वाब है बस इतना सा ख्वाब है. सपने सलामत दोस्तों, सपने सलामत. वेलकम टू अनदर एपिसोड ऑफ सपने सलामत विद रोहित चंद्रा. माय नेम इज रोहित चंद्रा एंड यू आर लिसनिंग टू सपने सलामत, शो डेडिकेटेड टू एनीवन विद अ ड्रीम. दिस इज अ शो फॉर एंटरप्रेन्योर्स, फॉर ड्रीमर्स, फॉर इन्वेस्टर्स, फॉर टेक्निकल पीपल एंड नॉन टेक्निकल पीपल, एनीवन एंड एवरीवन दैट हैज अ ड्रीम. एज यू नो बाय नाउ, वी आर ऑन एवरी सैटरडे एट नून. दिस इज अ नॉन कमर्शियल शो विद अ सिंगुलर गोल टू प्रमोट एंटरप्रेन्योरशिप एंड हेल्प यू रियलाइज योर ड्रीम्स. So no money has been paid by anybody, no money has been received by anybody to make an appearance on today's show. Think of this show as a helpline for startups. If you have a question related to startups, feel free to call in. The phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. We will take your questions live on the air. And folks, please, please, please do remember to turn your radios down when you call. We will try and get to every call that we can get to. We do get a significant number of calls, and I'm very appreciative of the calls that we do get. So, folks, this is really an ecosystem of startups that's forming. And we routinely get approached by a whole bunch of entrepreneurs with requests for mentoring advice, and we are happy to sort of take on all of those. And if you have questions related to startups, please feel free to call in and ask those questions, because we're building a knowledge pool. And if there's any information that you have, or in fact that we can share, then we'd be more than happy to share that with the entire listener base. In the past, we've talked to a whole bunch of interesting people. We've had some serial entrepreneurs that have built billion-plus-dollar companies. We've talked to some VCs. We've talked to some angels. We've talked to a whole slew of folks about how they've built their businesses and how they've pursued their dreams. We've talked about how to generate buzz for your company. And it's been an interesting ride. What we're going to do today is we're actually going to have in our studio somebody who's going to be your voice. So one of our listeners who is actually an aspiring entrepreneur. And we're going to come and talk today about how to build a company, how to start a company. So welcome to the studio, Ashwin.
Thank you. Thank you, Rohit, for inviting me on the show. As you know, I have been a very avid listener of the show and learning a lot from the show.
Well, we're really delighted to have you here. So I think today we're going to get down to the nuts and bolts and talk about what it really takes to build a company and how we do that.
Yeah, looking forward to. Actually, you know, this is the show that, like any other entrepreneur, I try to learn from a lot of resources. And this is one show that I always look forward to on Saturday at noon, where I get to learn from other people's experience, real world experiences. And things like, I remember of an entrepreneur who came on the show and she talked about how she took a second mortgage on her home just to run a single page ad in one of the popular computer magazines, which was very crucial for her business.
And that's right. That's a real world story. In fact, right along that story is a story that Hot Jobs did. I don't know if you've heard this. 10 years ago, Hot Jobs spent $1 million on the Super Bowl ad. And $1 million was basically all the money that this company had. And they bet the entire $1 million on that advertisement on the Super Bowl, and it paid off. HotJobs sort of went on to become a really successful company and eventually got acquired by Yahoo. So yes, real world stories.
Yes, and I think this is what someone like me, who is an aspiring entrepreneur, it gives me the confidence when I hear to these stories that someone has done that successfully, like, you know, taking a second mortgage and putting it down, risking it all.
Yeah.
And if I hear the stories, it is quite an inspiration for me as well. And it kind of gives me the confidence to take that risk as well.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you dive into that and become an entrepreneur, because I think entrepreneurship is one of the most exciting journeys that at least I've embarked on in my life. And I've had the good fortune to embark on this journey several times by now.
Yes, so. And I think you are doing a great job. And I thank you not only on behalf of myself, but on behalf of our listeners as well, who has a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs and who must be learning the same things as I am from this show. So thank you very much for this initiative that you have started to not only dedicate your time, that also on a Saturday at noon, coming away from your family and helping the next generation of entrepreneurs.
Well, thank you. That's very flattering, Ashwin.
But it's true.
Well, we all try to do what we can. So,
thank you. So, you know, let me start with why are you doing this show? You know, what makes you come out on a Saturday at noon away from your family and trying to spend time with building this ecosystem, which is going to be helpful for this next generation of entrepreneurs? Why?
Well, the short answer is that I wish I had had this help when I was starting out on my first company, and I wish there was somebody who could have shown me how to do things, what to do things. And I think what I really wanted to do was help the next generation entrepreneur to be able to provide him a forum where he can actually look at how other people have done it. And I think one of the key things that I've tried to, or what I'm aspiring with this show, is to keep it very real. It's none of the fluff about, you know, go do this and talk about things from a high level. I'm not looking to have people come on the show and sit on a soapbox and sort of talk to the audience to say what needs to be done, but say, give real world examples of how they've done it and what worked and what did not work. Talk about your failures, talk about your successes, talk about your strengths, talk about your shortcomings. But just have essentially more number of data points for entrepreneurs to look at and say, yes, this is one way it could be done, or this is one pitfall. And obviously, each entrepreneur is going to make up his own determination in terms of how his journey is going to be, what are the things that he's going to pursue, and how he's going to build his venture or her venture. But these are just giving real-life scenarios of other folks that have done this.
And that is what is exciting for me about this show, is like when I listen to this show, it is more like I'm not able to get this kind of information on any other resources. You know, as an entrepreneur, I kind of self-educate myself, and I never come across the tips and tricks that people have actually come and shared openly about their successes as well as their failures on this show, which is something that I really look forward to.
Well, again, I'm flattered to hear that if you've been able to get that, because that's what I've been striving to do. So, and if you've been able to communicate that effectively, then I think I'm doing okay and I'm happy with what I'm doing.
Sure. So how did you get started with this radio show? why radio as a medium? Why not something else?
Well, it's a very simple story. The short answer is because it was there. The long answer is a friend of mine had gone to India, needed a ride back from the airport. I was nominated to go pick him up from the airport, and he had a minivan. So since the whole family was coming back, I had to go drive his minivan. And I went to his house, picked up his minivan, and was driving to the airport to pick him up from the airport. And on the way, I was listening to KLOK 1170. I was like, wait a minute, here's an Indian radio station. I've never heard of this before. So this is almost a year ago. And they were running their commercial, say, hey, if you want to have your own show, come on and run an own show. I was like, that's not a bad idea. Let's do a show. And the next question was, what do you want to do a show about? My passion is entrepreneurship. So I figured, hey, here's a radio that's looking for somebody to produce good quality programming. My passion's entrepreneurship. Where do I see a shortcoming? Where do I see a gap? I see a gap in helping the next generation of entrepreneurs. Because despite the numerous successes we've seen over the last 15 years in the Indian community, I still feel there's a huge gap between the folks that have done it, been there successfully, and the next generation guys to be able to connect them up with the real-life scenario. I mean, there's obviously organizations like Tive which serve their own purpose, but they unfortunately are not filling this particular gap that I feel needed to be filled. So that's sort of how I got into this whole radio and entrepreneurship. And Sapne Salamat.
Sure, Sapne Salamat. And, you know, this is a classic example of an entrepreneurship in the works. Like, you know, you just happen to listen to this on the radio while driving from the airport, and you decided to take action, and you took action, and today you are having a radio show which is now what, like about 8 or 9 months
and
I think being that action-oriented entrepreneur this is a classic example of that.
It really is. I mean, I thought about it, I talked to a friend about it, like, let's do it, and he's also a fellow entrepreneur, and he said, yeah, sounds like a good idea. And literally the next week I was on the air and he was like, wait a minute, we just had a conversation last week. What happened? I was like, yeah, we had a conversation. I acted on it and here's the show.
Wow. So I think this is a lesson for all of us aspiring entrepreneurs that just don't think about your ideas, execute on them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Sure. Execution is key.
Sure. So let me get started with, you know, how do you actually start a company? How do you build a company? And what are the steps that you go through in doing so?
Wow. That's a long answer, but let me try to attempt to take a couple of stabs at it. I'm just thinking we've got this call on hold for a few minutes here. Should we grab this real quick before I dive into this long answer?
Sure.
All right. Sapne Salamat, caller, you're live on air.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, Sapne Salamat.
My quick question is, if you have a small company, what is the best way to start a joint venture?
Wow, that's a very open-ended question, caller. What is your name?
Suraj. I'm Suraj Pore.
Okay. So, Suraj, you're looking to do a joint venture with a large company and you're trying to figure out how to get into that, or you're trying to figure out from a legal perspective?
The best method of getting together with another two companies, which are also small, not very large.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do we... what is the best method of putting it together and getting a contract or whatever you might call it written out?
When you're talking about a joint venture, are you talking about merging these three companies? Are you talking about doing a joint venture?
Yeah, merging the three companies.
Oh, wow. Okay. I am not the right person to be answering that question, but I can certainly direct you to somebody that can help you with that. So if you like, you can send me an email on radio@ruhit.com and I'll connect you with some counsel that'll be happy to give you at least some initial free consultation on how to do that.
Because sure.
That would be the best way. I'm not a legal guy and I just cannot give you legal advice on that kind of stuff.
Okay. So, thank you.
Sorry, wanted to be able to be much more help on that, Suraj.
No problem.
Thank you. Bye bye. All right, that was an interesting question, talking about doing a merger of three companies. Well, before we get to the mergers, let's talk about how to actually start a company.
Exactly.
So the number one thing, in my opinion, is to come up with an idea. And there's this cliche out there that says that ideas are a dime a dozen. There's a lot of merit to that, yet there isn't merit to that. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I think there's fantastic ideas are few in between. But the other thing about it is, it's really all about execution. So number one, you have to go identify an idea which hopefully you believe is a fantastic idea. Two, once you've identified that idea, you need to be sort of accept the fact that you're not the only smart guy on the planet and there's about 10 other people who have identified the exact same idea.
So let me stop you just there and just rewind back a little bit. So when you say that you have to get started with an idea, you know, you would have, like for example, when you started Ruhit.com,
right.
You may have actually worked through several ideas. What made you feel that you should stick with Ruhit.com and just execute on that and, you know, dedicate your next, you know, maybe at least 5 or so years to make this successful?
Yeah. Well, that's a very, again, very interesting and involved question. But yes, I went through this process of trying to figure out how many different ideas are there, which one do I like best. I'll go back to another cliche, which says necessity is the mother of all invention. And I felt the need for a highlighter. And the way I sort of looked upon it was there are these huge database in the world, which I'm going to call the World Wide Web, which is the internet, which really is a massive database, if you might think of it that way. And there is colossal amounts of data, and there is only certain pieces of this data that is of relevance to me individually. And there is no way for me to uniquely identify which particular pieces of this web are of interest to me. And there is no way for me to uniquely collect and build my own collection of the web that is of importance to me. And that's sort of what Ruhit does. So the idea was, I'll sort of take it back into, again, a real-life scenario so you can relate to how I came about with this. I started a discussion group, about 10 years ago, like a salon-style discussion group where we meet at a cafe, actually a Starbucks, and we sit and talk about issues. So we call it intelligent discussions. And this is people that we meet online for typically on Craigslist, but the meetings and discussions are all real-life in-person with no anonymity and none of that stuff. And we sit down, we talk about anything and everything. The whole idea is not to solve the world's problems, but to get a better understanding of the issues. And in going through these discussions, I would find oftentimes we'd want to reference things back with each other. And whenever we send these references across from each other, people would send out links saying, here, go take a look at this page. And I'm really lazy, intellectually lazy. So I would go there and look at this page and look at this link and say, I don't want to click on this link. Because guess what? When I click on a link, it would open up a page that was really long. And I'm going there and saying, what part of this is you know, my friend Kathy, what does she want me to read? I'm not going to spend a half hour reading this 5-page long document or 20 minutes or whatever it takes me. I just want the short answer, like, okay, give me the highlights of the document. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm looking for the highlights of the document. Surely there's got to be a way to be able to highlight stuff on the web. And which sort of gets into my second point about starting a company. You want to go out and research what else is out there. So I started looking for a highlighter pen on the web that would allow me to highlight information so that when I'm sending articles out, see, typically what happens is people are sending articles out. We all know what we do. We go to the article, we copy, we paste, we drop it into email, then we copy, then we paste, drop it into email, then we put a link and we send it off. So either somebody on the receiving end has to do all the work reading the entire article or somebody on the sending end. And I could not find a single tool that was out there that allowed me to do this. So that's sort of how I identified an idea and identified a need and started to build my company based upon that thought.
So did you talk to any of your other users who would identify the same need and which made your validation even further successful, where you said that, yes, this is the idea, this is the need, and it is a common problem?
Yeah. So yes, I think that's the other thing I always tell people is go get validation from your friends. Go talk to them and say, do you have a need for a tool like this? Will you use a tool like this? And oftentimes your friends will say, yes, I have a need for this. And oftentimes your friend will say, no, I don't. But either ways, it doesn't mean much, and yet it means a lot. I'm speaking for both sides, because the whole idea is your friends may not be the right target segment for what you're trying to do. So if your target segment is a horizontal play where you're saying that and everybody on the planet should be using one of these, then your friends are definitely a part of a demographic. If you're building a company or a product which is around a certain vertical that your friend may have no need for example, I don't know, somebody who's an entrepreneur and you talk to him about a job site, he may have no interest ever in going finding a job, so he cannot relate to that. And that may not be the best example, but the whole idea is you have to find somebody that is in that niche and fits those criteria that you've established for your target audience, and then be able to go and validate that and say that, yes, there is a need for this product.
Okay. So friends are definitely the first step, and you would go and talk to your friends, specifically if you're building a consumer web service. But tell me about an experience where if your friends are not directly the users of the service.
Sure.
Then how do you go and identify the other set of users, and how do you actually approach them, and why would somebody entertain you?
Well, why would somebody entertain you is because you're an entrepreneur and you have conviction in what you're doing, and you will pick up the phone and you say, guess what, Mr. Larry Ellison, I want to come talk to you because I've got a fantastic idea. And guess what? 99.999% of the time, Mr. Larry Ellison will throw you away and not even answer your call. But then what you do is you go into somebody else who's much smaller in the organization and actually feels the pain that you're looking to solve. And this person will entertain you. So you have to figure out who that person is, and you have to use your networks to figure out who, not just that one person, but who a handful of these people are, and go and talk to them and say, listen, this is my idea. I'm looking to build a solution on this. Can you validate it? Can you invalidate it? Will you buy it? Will you use it? What do you think? Just get feedback.
Okay. So the crux of the matter is, as an entrepreneur, we all know that, you know, we have to go and talk to the users. But I think this is what you just said is the crux of the matter, which is, you know, if you pick up a phone and talk to your potential user, your potential customer, if he throws you out, you know, why he should entertain you, then you should persist and find out creative ways to reach your target customer so that you can actually talk to him or her and come up with some real-world requirements.
Exactly. And I think part of being an entrepreneur that I always tell folks is being steadfastness and having conviction. So this is a very fine line and a very hard balance to strike, where you say, I have the conviction in my idea, because as you're looking to build a company, there's going to be an ungodly number of people who will tell you that this is stupid, this doesn't make sense, you cannot do it, it's a very large problem you're looking to solve. But you have to have the conviction to say, I can do it, I can do it. At the same time, you have to have sort of the smarts to be able to take the feedback when all these people are telling you that you cannot do it, to be able to say, you know what, maybe this is not the right thing to be doing. So I think you have to have conviction, one, in yourself, two, in your abilities, and three, in the idea that you're going after.
And how do you figure out that you believe in your conviction, and now it is really something that is really not worth building it? And how do you know that this is, I should stop going after this idea because it is, you know, not paying me off? And is there a way where you differentiate that, you know, I should continue, or should I just discontinue?
Yeah.
And move along with some other idea?
Yeah, that's a really, really hard one. I met with an entrepreneur last week who actually was a listener to the show, and he reached out to me, and he's building a new website and he's building a new consumer web business that he's pursuing. And I had a heart-to-heart chat with him. Actually, I met him about 10 days ago, and I had a heart-to-heart chat with him and I told him, listen, dude, I don't think this is doable. I don't think this is going to fly. My guess is it's very, very hard to do. My guess is it's a very, very hard problem you're trying to solve. But guess what? 99 out of 100 people are going to tell you what I'm telling you. So just put me in the bucket of the 99 and look for the one guy who's going to believe in this idea and pursue with it. And I ran into the same entrepreneur, I'm going to put 3 or 4 days ago at a business event. And I asked him, hey, what's going on? And he said, yep, I'm still pursuing my idea. And I'm like, you know what, dude, go for it. Prove me wrong, because that's the best thing.
So I think you just have to take that blind leap of faith in one way to just pursue what your conviction is supporting you.
Correct. There is no black and white answer. It's sort of within you where you have to figure out at some point to say, yes, I can do this, or no, maybe I cannot do this particular idea. Maybe I should do another idea or another product or another business.
Okay. So I think that's another lesson where you just have to, if the world is telling you no, you still have to go behind your idea, no matter what, and put all your resources, despite all the odds against you.
Right. Sure. Yeah. See, the other thing that you have to keep in mind is anytime you're going up with trying to build a company or pursuing an idea, there is this whole notion of time to market and window of opportunity. And the window of opportunity tends to be not very big for most products, whether it be tech or non-tech. You know, there's timing about when there is a need for a certain thing. And you have to capture that within that. Now, the good news on the one hand is oftentimes visionaries will be early to market. So if you happen to be one of those rare visionaries, it means you grabbed it before the window of opportunity even opened. You saw what was coming. And that gives you a bigger window to go and execute your idea and execute your business on.
Okay. So what if you are too early? And like, for example, I think I can cite an example of E-code.
Yes.
Wasn't that too early, do you think?
It was. Exactly. To your point, I'm guilty of that. I started E-code in 1997, and E-code at the time was arguably the earliest social networking website ever. Basically, we took all the ideas today. E-code is equal sort of OpenID, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we took that idea and we mashed that idea in together with the whole idea of Facebook and LinkedIn and combined all of these ideas and presented as an early social networking website. So it was definitely early to market. And I think social networking sort of exploded really only in the early 2000s, I'd say 2001, 2002 time. Actually started in 2001, 2002. In fact, Friendster was the company that is given the most credit for having started social networking or having made social networking a big thing. And you know what? You live and learn. You realize this was way too early. Take a little longer. Wait for your ideas to mature. If not your idea to mature, wait for the market to mature.
And in the meantime, do you put that on the shelf and start working on your other ideas, or when do you know that, yes, you know, I have been an early visionary in this sector and maybe I should just give it a rest and start working on something else?
I don't think you do, and I certainly am guilty of that one myself. I don't know when. I think that's when the other key element for starting a company comes in, which is advisors. I cannot undermine the value of advisors, because these are folks that are external to the company that will come in and need to talk, give you validation or invalidation or give you guidance, because you are so close to your product, your business, your idea that you sort of forget what is happening outside and you're just so focused, which is what you need to be. You need to be focused. And I think that's why these advisors come in and they can help you out. And that's why, you know, even large companies have board of directors. These board of directors meet every quarter, every so often. And the whole idea is not because of anything else, but because these are external sounding boards. And more than large companies, I think every young entrepreneur, every young startup needs to have one of these, not one, but several of these on there. So anyways, we see our producer here signaling for a break. So we need to take a break and we'll come back and we'll continue talking about how to build a startup.
Do you use Rohit to make highlights?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everything I highlight is automatically saved and clipped for me.
So what's the benefit?
What's the benefit, you ask? Let me tell you. Everything I highlight is automatically filed for me. So for example, if I'm doing a search for something using Google or whatever, typically I have to go through several pages. And on each page, there is only a part of the page that I'm interested in. I just highlight the portions of the page that are of interest to me. Rohit automatically, behind the scenes, saves all my highlights for me. I can then just go and see everything in my collection on one page.
That sounds pretty nifty.
Yeah, Get this, I can then further cherry pick and combine them. What that does is, it shows me all the underlying pages with highlights as one page.
Wow! Okay, I am impressed. How do I sign up? What does it cost?
Ha! Get this, it's all free and you don't even have to sign up or fill out any registration forms.
Sweet! Okay, I'm going to go download it right now.
Cool! By the way, thought I'd mention, there is no download requirement either.
This is too good to be true.
Try it. What have you got to lose? Rohit is fabulous.
Highlight the web.
Go Rohit!
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Are you looking for a home to rent? Are you looking for a home to rent in Sacramento? How about a completely remodeled, brand new two-bedroom, split-level townhome? Has central heat and air conditioning and is beautifully maintained, and it shows. If you see it, you're going to love it. So call 916-674-2540 to schedule a time to see it. And now let's get back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing and started several companies in Silicon Valley. He's also been an active entrepreneur working on a Web 2.0 startup.
Sapne Salamat, dosto. Welcome back. Sapne Salamat. My name is Rohit Chandra. We are talking about how to build a company. In the studios, we have with us aspiring entrepreneur Ashwin Patel. Ashwin is sort of being the voice of you and trying to figure out what it takes to build a company.
Thank you, Rohit. So before the break, we were just talking about advisors. And again, you know, I want some real tips of how would you approach an advisor? You know, why would anyone, again, entertain you, a no one from somewhere? Why would anyone even entertain you? So, friends, if you have similar questions like me, and if you want to call in the studio, we have the phone lines open. You can reach at 408-912-5565. 408-912-KLOK.
So I think the way to reach advisors is really through forums like this, where you go and talk to people that have successfully done it and find people that have in a space that is similar to the space that you are pursuing. I think advisors are typically people that have been part of the entrepreneurial ecosystem and probably typically been part of this ecosystem for years on end, if not more. And these are folks that actually like to build companies. And there's living in Silicon Valley, there is no dearth of these kind of people. I mean, we derive satisfaction from watching companies grow, from building companies, and these people will get part of the ecosystem. The other thing I always tell entrepreneurs is when you go out and approach these advisors, you offer them equity in their company because that way they have some skin in the game and they really want to see you succeed. And this is something that's very important. In fact, I was at this business event a couple of days back, and I met this lady, and she was talking about how she helped a friend build a company. And guess what? The company had a fantastic exit. And I asked her, hey, great. So I guess you have got some stock. She said, no, I just got invited to the celebration party. And all she got out of it was the free champagne. So, and I was like, wait a minute. We really need to get this message out there to other founders out there that you have to be very liberal with your equity. Because what happens is, if you give out equity to more and more people, equity meaning stocks, shares in your company. So now more and more people want to see these shares of your company do well. And you're sort of bringing all of these people together driving towards a common goal, which is the success of your company.
Okay. So give me some specific numbers. Like, you know, if I were to invite a board of advisor, a member, how much of equity would be a fair equity for him?
This is all across the spectrum, and you'll be shocked at how wide a range I myself have seen. I've seen range as little as a quarter of a percent to as much as 15 to 20%. 15 to 20% is sort of the extreme where the guy comes in that idea and says, now what do I do? So the advisor almost becomes a co-founder at that point and says, this is what you do. This is the process you go to. This is how you write your business plan. This is how you do your presentations. These are the other people to talk to, and sort of just helps you through the entire process. Now, the entire process, however, still happens to be only the initial 6-9 months of the company and not beyond that, because hopefully after that point, the company takes off and goes on its own. The other end of the spectrum is the sort of the quarter percent thing that I've seen, which is typically the guys that are saying that, here, use my name, and you can go in and you say, guess what, Bill Gates is on my board of advisors. I mean, Bill Gates doesn't do that, but you basically put in industry luminaries, and all that they're giving you is their name. In my experience, that's been of really little to no value. So I would strongly encourage entrepreneurs not to do that, not to chase the pretty names and the big names just to be able to put it on there, because in the industry, everybody sort of recognizes and knows that for what it is, and you're really not getting anything much value out of that. So the typical range happens to be more in the 5 to 10% thing, if you will. And that's where what you really want is an advisor, is somebody who's going to be engaged with your company and your business, who's going to get involved and actually roll up their sleeves and talk about what it is that the business is doing, what it is that the product is doing, why it's doing what it's doing, what it needs to be doing, what it's not doing, and what it should not be doing. So they'll really look under the covers of the product, of the business, of the vision, and provide help, guidance. And I mean, in many ways, they're your sort of early co-founders, even except for the fact that they're not working with you 40, 50, 80 hours a week.
And how many number of advisors is a good number?
Oh boy, that's a hard question. I would say you should have at least, well, I shouldn't say even at least. You should have at least a couple. And again, it starts on the stage of the company. So you bring one advisor on, and hopefully you'll bring another on, and hopefully you'll bring yet another one on. So I think you can't have too many advisors, because these are all people that are sort of trying to help your company succeed. And I don't know. I think your advisors will advise you on when to stop, depending upon the stage of the company, to say if you need more advisors or not. People will bring in advisors that are... another thing that people do is if you're chasing a particular customer, they'll get somebody from that company on their customer advisory board.
Okay, that's a wonderful idea.
Yes, it's sort of the gray zone idea, because what happens is there's a little bit of a conflict of interest that comes into play, because this customer now has a vested interest in seeing your company succeed, and the way your company is going to succeed is by selling back to his employer.
Okay.
So you have to be very, very careful that you don't get any of those things mixed up.
Okay. So if I'm a listener of the show, I request, you know, the host, Rohit Chandra, to be an advisor on my board, so I get one of the advisors, let's say. How do I actually go and get a couple of more advisors? I mean, you said about, you know, your network, you should be tapping into your network for your advisors. But
correct.
If you're a no one, again, your network would be, again, be consisting of people who are like you, right? And
sure.
May not have the kind of the demographic who would be good for becoming advisors of your company. So what are the other ways of approaching an advisor apart from calling in this show?
Oh, gosh, there's a whole bunch of entrepreneurial organizations out there. I mean, right from Churchill Club to Thai to incubator programs out there, startup programs out there. There's a whole bunch of forums, and you go to this business networking events and you figure out who are the people you want to reach to. And also, cold calling also works. You can pick up the phone and call somebody and say, I'm looking to start the company in this area. Can I come and talk to you can I show you my idea? People in the Valley are very, very willing and receptive to listening to new ideas.
Cold calling. I think that is one good takeaway, I believe. You know, and it is kind of being a repeated theme. Like, you know, if you want to talk to your early customers, do cold calling. If you want to reach your board of advisors, cold calling, again, is one of the approaches to do so.
Well, having said that, as I also said, cold calling is sort of the desperate measure when you say, I don't have anything else to reach out to, because that's sort of your last resort. But the fact is, yes, that works too.
Okay.
But more often than not, what you'll find is people will connect you to people. And it just sort of a connections. Even if you reach out to somebody who's not an entrepreneur himself, but is just a little bit higher up than you, he'll connect you to somebody else who's a little bit higher up, and who'll connect you to somebody who's a little bit higher up. The idea is your idea, your product, your business have to have merit to be able to get onto the next level.
Okay, so you actually take the advantage of 6 degrees of separation, where you start connecting with people who may connect you to the other relevant people, and that way you reach your target.
Right, precisely. All right, I think what we should do is we should open up the phone lines, have a couple of calls if the folks have any questions, and we'll continue talking. 408-912-KLOK, 408-912-5565. If you have questions around starting a company, if you have questions around building a company, if you have questions around pursuing your dreams, we're talking about all of that today. And in the studios, we have with us Ashwin Patel. I'm Rohit Chandra. We're talking about how to get advisors and how to build companies.
So now the next step is, you know, let's say if you have built a good board of advisors, now you need money to run your operations, and you may bootstrap for a while, which is one very valid way to build your company. But if you need more than that, then the next step is probably angel funding. And did you yourself do any kind of angel funding for Rohit.com or Ecode, your previous company?
Yes. I think the Valley sort of, in some ways, spoiled many entrepreneurs with angel and the whole notion of angel. So I had a significant amount of angel money that I'd raised for my prior company, but I did not do any angel money for my current company. And I think angels is a very interesting concept, and there's a whole learning that goes with this. So I don't know. I think we should almost feel like we should dedicate a whole show to talking about angel investing and keep the focus of this one on building a company, if that's okay with you.
Sure, sure. So what are the other things that you think? You know, we talked about the ideas, identifying needs, going and talking to your potential customers. Now, what is the next step?
The next step, so for a lot of tech companies, typically is intellectual property. And everybody is trying to figure out how to do patent work and how to do patents. So I always tell founders, entrepreneurs, it's very, very, very simple to file a provisional patent. It's really basically a full disclosure document. If they go out and do a search on the US Patent Trademark Office or anywhere else on the web, it'll show you that you can pretty much disclose, as long as you disclose everything in your invention, you send it into the patent office as a provisional patent, you then have 12 months to actually go out and file a real patent on it. So that's a good way to defend, to sort of protect your intellectual property. In this 12 months, you can actually go out and find some good IP lawyer who will go and file your patent for you. Arguably, you could do it yourself. I've never done that piece myself, even though I'm very hands-on with doing all kinds of things myself. And I found that to be a fairly useful process. It also is a fairly expensive process. So the advice, again, to entrepreneurs out there is go and find somebody who believes in your idea and in you and is going to be willing to do this on a deferred model. So deferred model means where the lawyer says, hey, listen, I'm still going to bill you at $600 an hour, which is typically what these guys will bill you at. But guess what? I'll send you this bill. You don't have to pay me until you actually get funded. So the challenge then is, now you get this patent work done. If you're doing one or two or three patents, it's not very expensive. If you end up doing half a dozen patents, you could end up spending $100,000 or something in that range on just filing patents. And that money you will have to pay once your company gets funded.
So if I don't get the option of the deferral payment, and if I have to pay it out of my own pocket, then what, as an entrepreneur, where should I invest in? Should I invest in building the product rather than just filing the patent?
Very hard question, and it's got to be a judge gut call, because you have to look at how unique it is that you're doing and how big it was going to be in the future. The other piece of thing that's happened with all this outsourcing to India thing is there are actually now law firms that will outsource patent filings to India and do it for a fraction of the cost. So to give you a data point, I think there's folks that will file a patent for a blanket amount of less than $5,000 each. And you can sort of use one of those approaches and defend your intellectual property from that standpoint.
But is it effective?
Hard to say. The only way to know it's effective is when it's put to the test, and the only test is in a court of law.
Yeah,
which means when you try to enforce it and the other party says, okay, let's go to court and fight it out. So fortunately for me, I don't have much experience in that one.
Okay, because I hear what you get what you pay for, and if you're going to take a shortcut on this one, it may not actually stand when the time comes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Hey, BV, did you go through all those articles I sent you yesterday?
Itne sare kaam, ghar ka kaam karun, beti ka homework karaun, kya kya karun, kab padhun?
They were important articles, some on the school, the company, the community. You need to go through those.
Those are such long articles. Don't send me anything unless you highlight it.
Highlight it?
Do you not know about Ruhit? Use Ruhit and highlight.
Oh, maaf kijiye bhai. Main next time karta hoon.
Ruhit is a free, no sign up, no download web tool that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. ROOHIT.com.
If you want me to read it, use Ruhit.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi there, this is Vaibhav Sharma.
Vaibhav, Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Sapne Salamat, how are you doing, Rohit?
I'm doing very well. Do you have a quick question, comment for us?
Yes, excellent show as usual. Quick comment, I mean, we've been talking about, you know, getting advisors on the board, taking your idea to a point where somebody can fund you. You know, I believe that anyone can buy a Ferrari with someone else's money, but the actual cream is in the execution of, you know, how you drive the Ferrari. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, day-to-day distractions, you know, when typical techies are not good at doing business once they have the control over it? Can you talk a little bit about, you know, distractions like handling payroll and, you know, operations, getting a place, getting an office and all those things?
Yes, yes. Yes, very insightful questions, very good questions, Vaibhav. So I think one of the things that I wanted to touch upon earlier on that I was not able to touch upon is this whole notion of attracting co-founders. So when you, and by the way, this is something that has been a shortcoming for me myself. In all the companies that I've started, I've always done this as a single founder. But what I always tell other people is you should bring in co-founders. You should typically have at least two and as much as four co-founders. So these are folks that can come in and carry different pieces of the the company, so that one guy can be focused on operations, or one guy can be focused on business, or one guy can be focused on the engineering, or somebody can be focused on marketing. So those are some of the benefits that allow you to split the responsibilities across the team. The other benefits are, when you're building a company, it's a very painful process, emotionally as well as physically, and time-consuming process. So when you have doubts and you feel low, then also these co-founders can come in and you say, you know what, I can't do this no more. This is not working. This is really hard. Then you can take a break, and these other co-founders can help sustain the company and go keep the sort of dream alive in that downtime, if you will. Coming right back into more specifics of your question, in terms of operations, these are all painful things that entrepreneurs have to do, and there is no avoiding it. The best way I found, and I always tell people to do it, is do as little as you really, really need to do, and outsource right as much as you can possibly outsource. Having said outsource as much as you can outsource, the other big thing I always tell people is be extremely frugal. I mean, you cannot be too frugal. I'll take it back to an example that the famous Mike Moritz says. He looks for entrepreneurs who will take paper clips out of incoming mail and save them.
Right.
That's the extent of frugality. And actually, that's the extent of frugality I still to this day practice in my business. So right, none of this is intended to be legal advice. Please don't take this as legal advice. Folks always say, how do I start a company? And I always say, why are you worried about incorporation and doing all of that stuff? Go build a product. Go build a company. Once you start having out-facing interactions, then you actually need to go build a real legal entity and protect yourself from liability and all of those things. Again, not legal advice, not probably the worst legal advice, but also very practical advice in terms of how to do it. Operations, HR payroll comes in when you have employees, when you have money to pay these people. If you have money to pay these people, you can find small tax accounting, bookkeeping companies that will do all of this stuff for you. Or you can go to large entities like ADPU that will do this for you and will charge you a little bit more money. There's also middle of the road people that will do it professional, thorough job take on the liability. I think Wells Fargo used to do this once upon a time. I don't know if they still do this. So these guys will help you with all of that. Other operational issues like internet connectivity, things going down, find an office center where you can go in and have sort of them be responsible for all of that, making sure the network's running, lights are on, ACs are working. But these are all, again, real-life problems you run into. Get an office only when you have to. If you can work out of the garage, do that. Save on your rent. Of course, it encroaches on your privacy with your family, so you have all of those issues to attend to. And things like liability insurance, when you're looking for office space, try and find landlords that will not add bells and whistles, because a lot of landlords, when you go in to protect themselves, they'll make you buy extra liability insurance, which is an extra $500 to $1,000 a year that will cost you as a small company. So these are all sort of hidden costs that you don't see when you walk into this thing. Also, very frugal, don't get a swank office. Don't go for a Class A building. Go find something that's really, really cheap and inexpensive. I mean, and again, this is all just one person's advice. So take it as one person's advice. It's free advice, worth what you pay for it. Use it, discard it. But hopefully it helps you, Vaibhav.
Yeah, and just another comment. I mean, from my experience, all this, one, you know, a typical techie taking their idea to, you know, building a company, one of the key skills is delegating.
Correct.
To the level of, you know, handing someone the keys to your operations of the entire company and you yourself concentrating on doing what you do best.
Correct.
That's really hard for a typical techie who's, you know, kind of switching to a different mode of... anyway, thanks, Rohit. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for your call, Vaibhav. Sapne Salamat. All right. So I think Sapne Salamat caller, you're live on air.
Hello, Rohit. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Sapne Salamat, my friend. What is your name?
Well, Salamat. My name is Raj. I'm from San Ramon.
Raj, thank you for your call. Before I sort of dive into your call, I want to give out the phone number to the studio one more time. It's 408-912-5565. And I think the other thing that is, well, let's continue with your question first, and I'll come back, continue talking a little bit more about what Weber was asking about.
I was listening to the conversation. I've been listening to you for a long time. This is the first time I'm calling.
Well, thank you for your call.
And I was wondering, I wanted to take a little bit of a lateral step.
Sure.
To see, when we are talking about outsourcing.
Right.
There are multiple things which was involved. See, when this country was started, United
right.
States, the basic idea was to outsourcing idea was to find the resources anywhere in the world.
Right.
Get it done in the most effective way, in the most maximum utility with the most optimization.
Okay. I hadn't realized they were doing this back in 1776, but I'm going to take your word for it.
Idea was that find a resource where it is cheap and where it is good and which helps this country to build jobs which will help this economy going. That
uh-huh.
was the whole idea.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not against outsourcing. What I'm thinking is, in the process of outsourcing, I want your colleagues who are sitting on the bench today to talk about something. Haven't we diluted a fundamental idea what this country was supposed to build on, and also the projects, information, whatever we do in this country? For example, like manufacturing, the complete is gone to China, which is not going to come back.
Okay.
And, for example, the services job which has gone to India, which is not going to come back. But in the process, what is it has done to the United States wherein this economy can grow and at the same time which will enhance the performance of this country in the world and also help the other countries grow? I'm not against that other countries growing. But I strongly think we are kind of, in order to save money, we are diluting the system. Probably it's going to hurt back the companies which are in the United States in the long run. I will take your comments off air.
Yes, that's sort of what I was trying to figure out, because a fairly long-winded question here, and I don't know if we could sort of summarize it for our callers to make it really short and simple that we can address.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hello.
Yes, Sapne Salamat.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, hi. I'm online. On air, right?
Yes, my friend, Sapne Salamat, you are on air, and everybody's hearing you mumbling.
I'm sorry. I this is my first time. I have a question about non-compete agreement. Is that something that you can answer to?
Non-compete agreement with your employers?
No, I had a company, you know, a while back, not too long ago, about a year ago, and I have sold my share to another business partner, let's say. And then, you know, it was such a goofy thing, you know, he wrote it down, something that called non-compete agreement, knowingly that it's not enforceable in California. I think that's what I heard. But I'm not expert on that. That's what I need the advice. So because I am going to start the same business where I have left off.
Wow. That's a very hard one because, again, I cannot give you legal advice, but my understanding is non-competes are enforceable in California. A lot of people have taken this to the courts. I'm not the expert, but what I can do again is if you'll send me an email to radio@rohit.com, that's radio@rohit.com, then I will connect you up with some lawyers who would be happy to give you some counsel on that.
I have paid the consultation fee and stuff. The attorney that said is that I won't be able to do until after that person that you have sold the company and signed that agreement to, that goes to the court and you know, file a claim or lawsuit or something like that, and then he'd probably be able to defend it. I am not really 100% sure, or not even 50% the chances that he's going to come after me and then do a kind of lawsuit and stuff. But I wanted to know, if he does so, then what's my option? That's what I needed to know. You know, I will deal with this attorney things maybe later on. But I thought maybe, but yeah. Well, that's how, you know, the thing in on that matter is that you fix when it breaks, you know, something like that. So,
I'll tell you what I can do is I can connect you up with somebody if you like, and you can talk to them and get a second opinion. But I really don't think I can say much more on that one because it's one of those things you've sort of decided to dive in with the sharks. Now, if the sharks are going to come bite you or not, I can't say.
So, well, anyways, I really thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay.
And, you know, I definitely, you know, maybe another next week or so when I come back, I will send you an email to find out if you can help me out on that. It's radiorohit.com, right?
Radiorohit.com. Yes. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, this is Dheeraj.
Hi, Dheeraj. Sapne Salamat.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to ask one question. Do you guys also help entrepreneurs in setting up industries in India?
Dheeraj, first of all, I need you to turn your radio down, please, because we end up in a feedback loop. Secondly, we guys are really sort of helping people realize their dreams. So this is not a commercial venture. We don't help with anything, and yet we try to help with everything. If you have specific questions, we'd be happy to answer them or guide you or send you to somebody who can help you with that. So you'll have to ask a little bit more specific in terms of what kind of venture you want to establish in India.
Okay. Actually, I'm interested in venturing some of the dairy and the water products in India.
Okay.
Since I want to start a new company over there. So I wanted to know whether there are some persons who help in building the startup companies. Financially.
So you're looking for people that to invest in your venture.
Right.
I'm sure there'll be people out there that do that. The question is, who are those people and how to connect with them?
Correct.
I would say, if you've ever written an executive summary or a PowerPoint presentation or something, take one of those, send them over to us, and we'll take a look at it and see if we can connect you with somebody who could possibly help you. I cannot sort of commit to saying that there is somebody that jumps to mind who works in that particular segments, if you will.
Okay, so I'll be sending it to radio@rohit.com, right?
That is correct.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Good luck.
Yeah, bye.
408-912-5565. 408-912-KLOK. We are talking about building a company. So, Ashwin, before we sort of start wrapping up for today, a couple of things I want to talk about is we had this caller who called in. We were talking about this whole outsourcing thing. And one key piece that I always tell people, and I very staunchly believe, is you can outsource everything, but you have to stay very close to the product. The founders cannot, like almost ever, even in later stages, the company should not be removed from the product, because no matter what your product is, tech, non-tech, whatever it is, they have to be focused on the product. So you can't say that, okay, I'm going to build a social networking website for blah, 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 and somebody in India is going to spec it out and build it out and do all of that. It's like, I don't think that would work, because you have to be very, very close to your product and build it from that point on. So, All right, we've got another call that's coming in. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi there. This is Mehul from San Jose.
Mehul, Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Hi.
Sapne Salamat, Mehul.
Sapna Salamat.
That's right.
So most of the time you have been focusing on the high-tech businesses in this talk show.
Yes, we have.
I had a question about, I was with a couple of friends. I was planning some kind of a traditional business in India. For example, let's say, starting, just a hypothetical example would be like, let's say...
I would say, Mehul, make it quick because we are running out of time. So if I would love to talk to, but just get to the question if you don't mind.
Sure. The question is, what kind of help can I get from here in terms of, investment if I want to do some kind of a traditional business in India, not a high-tech one?
I don't know what you mean by a traditional business. Are you talking a commodities business? If it's a commodities business, typical commodities business don't require investments from outside investors, which is ends up being, I think, founder's capital that goes into it. Again, I'd say check us out on the web. We are on ruhit.com/radio, and you can...
Okay.
Get a sense of what kinds of things we've done in the past and what kinds of guests we've had in the past, and send us an email. And if I can connect you up with somebody that might be able to help you, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, it's rohit.com, right?
Ruhit. My name is Rohit. My company is Ruhit. My name is spelled with a single O. My company's name is spelled with a double O.
I see. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Bye bye. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Sapne Salamat. This is Dave Bahatia. I would like to be in a quick, I'm a first-time caller, but I've been listening for the last 6-8 months, and thanks for, all this initiative and your efforts. I'm interested in establishing something connected with the solar industry in India, and I'm a mechanical engineer working in facilities for the last 25 years here in Silicon Valley.
Fantastic.
And I just want to request you that because Mr. Sabir Bhatia sometime is here.
Okay.
Can you get him sometime on the radio? Because I just want to ask him some direct question because he's making all efforts for new entrepreneurs.
We will.
Caller,
we are running out of time. We'll try and do what we can. But thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Rohit. I just have a question regarding the funding for the startups in India itself. I'm just like a regular architect in any big national company, but I'm just trying to build out some product, and that I want to build.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, caller. We've completely run out of time. We've got 3 seconds to go before we're going to get cut off.
Indian VC funding just in India itself.
Send us an email. Send us an email. Thank you. I think we've run out of time, folks. Please call in, and we will try and do what we can. Sapne Salamat, we are out.
Thank you, Rohit.
Thank you for listening to KLOK 1170 AM, the Bay Area's new international community radio station. If you'd like more information on KLOK 1170 AM, just visit our website at KLOK 1170.